Good morning, everybody. I found it fascinating when Pastor Mark gave me Abraham to talk about in this series of our great heroes of faith. Because the more I looked at Abraham's story, the more I thought, actually, he's not such a great hero, really. He's pretty much like you and me. Most of his life, he just lived a normal life like we do. He had a business looking after sheep. He managed his staff. He provided and looked after his family. Had to rescue his pig-headed nephew Lot a few times. But most of the times he just went about his life just like we do. There was one exception, which is a story that is very well known to many of us, the time when God asked him to sacrifice his son, Isaac, the one son of promise. But at the end, God said, "Stop, no, but now I know that you fear God." I reckon if Abraham was here today, he'd be a bit embarrassed about all the fuss about him. I reckon if he read the book of Hebrews, if he read the story of what Paul wrote about him in Galatians, what he read, what Stephen said in the book of Acts, that he'd even laugh, just like he and Sarah, his wife, were prone to do. I think if he was here right now, he might say, "I'm really not so extraordinary. The best thing I ever did was to say yes to God. And I had no idea where I went, where I was going. All I did was follow him step by step with all the faith that I could muster. All I did was say yes to being part of God's big story rather than just staying in on my own and being part of a big story full of hope and promise." And so in that way, I reckon Abraham is someone just like you and me, someone that we can relate to. And I think if you're in a situation now where you're looking for direction, maybe you've just finished school or uni, or maybe you're just in a stuck point on your life, then this story of Abraham and his choice to go might be something that is helpful to you. You see, God has a plan. And I just want to put Abraham into a little bit of context in case you're not familiar with his overall story. But by the time of Abraham, there was Noah and Cain and Abel, who I think Mark preached from the last couple of weeks. The world was in a broken and terrible state, just like we see around us today. As a result of the fall, the created earth itself was also having problems. It produced thorns and weeds and was hard for the farmers to work. There was arguing and fighting and murder and greed and jealousy. All sorts of things were around then, just as we see today. And in Genesis, it tells us that when God looked and saw these things, it broke his heart. Now, although there have been billions of people on this planet since then, nobody except one has been able to do anything to resolve that problem. But with Abraham, God starts this great rescue plan. Because with Abraham, he had many, many descendants. And the book of Matthew tells us in his genealogy that one of those descendants was Joseph, who was a carpenter, who married Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is the answer to all of the world's problems. Now, the first thing that happened was that God called Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you." And Abraham must have wondered, why me? Why has God chosen me to go? Because he'd come from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which is in modern day Iraq, which was a wealthy city, quite advanced by the standards of the time. There was good education, there were even libraries around, and the ground was very fertile, great for a shepherd. But the people in that place worshipped the moon god and other impersonal deities. They didn't know about the Lord Almighty. Now, there is some chance, I guess, that Abraham's father, Terah, had some stories passed down to him about the one true and living God, but the Bible doesn't suggest that or mention anything to do with that. It seems that Abraham was not in any way a big man, a man of great influence, a man of significance in his culture. There's nothing suggests he was particularly brave or strong or courageous, but God still chose him. What we do know is that when Abraham, some years later, left Haran in modern-day Turkey and went down to Canaan, he was 75 years old, his wife about 10 years younger. And it said that Sarah, his wife, was barren, unable to have children. And perhaps all that story is just for the good. Because if right from the start he was some amazing superhero, we might think, well, what's that got to do with me? But instead, he was a man full of frailties, just like ourselves. He was nobody special, just like ourselves. And he had one particular problem, especially in that culture today when family and children were everything. His wife Sarah was unable to have children. And you might think that God would never call you to go or to do anything special because of some barrenness in your own life, some particular problem or issue that you think might disqualify you from God ever saying to you, go. But you know, I think there is one thing that set Abraham apart from all the others. One reason I think that God chose Abraham, aside from other people, to go. And I reckon that is because Abraham paid attention to God. I think Abraham was the one who listened to God and was asking and seeking and hungering for this one true God. And I know there'd be people here who would jump at the chance for an opportunity to travel all that way and to have an adventure like that, for all the challenge and all the change. But there are others here who wouldn't want to do that one little bit, who are quite comfy and cozy exactly where you are and wouldn't really want to hear any talk of going from where you are. But you know, our God is a God who is a God of go. He says go to all of us in different ways, of course, not all to do the journey of Abraham. But what I think changes everything for Abraham and for us, that when God calls us to go, he's inviting us to be part of his big story, to get out of our own little story and be part of something far greater than ourselves. Now, when God told Abraham to go, he accompanied it with a promise. And the promise went like this. It was a crazy promise. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We continue to be blessed through Abraham. And I think that says a few different things to us. One, blessing expresses the heart of God. Blessing in many ways is just a practical outpouring of love. And that is what God is all about. Right from creation, from the very beginning, God's desire was to bless. He created us so that we can be part of the triune God and to enjoy fellowship with him forever. And it's not what people in Ballarat would think today, is it? If you asked what God was about, I don't reckon they'd say he's about blessing. He wants to bless us so that we experience so much good. Now, in the Old Testament, Abraham would have seen this sort of blessing as something that was material, essentially, in nature. They saw blessing as family and lots of kids, as health, prosperity, rain in its time, good crops, all those sorts of things, and more family, of course. But also, this blessing is a gift. Blessing is a real grace of God to us because none of us deserve it. None of us have done anything to earn it or to warrant blessing from God. It is something he chooses to give and we receive. And ultimately, this blessing that Abraham was receiving here is about Jesus. Paul clarifies that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, when he says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that is the non-Jewish people, by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. All nations, including ourselves, are blessed through Abraham and then ultimately through Jesus. And I wonder what promises you might have that keep you going. This was a promise that kept Abraham going. What promises do you hold on to when you just feel like shutting the door and putting your slippers on and watching telly? I have a promise book. When I read my read scripture, I write, if the scripture says this, I write two different things. One is about God's nature and who he is. It's a good reminder and something that helps build my faith. The other is the sorts of things that are promises from God. Two promises I have here that might be relevant for each of us as we are on the go, the journey with God. One's from 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Don't we all feel weak in what we're doing at times? But God says that his grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in weakness. Another promise that I hang on to when it just seems like, what's the point of anything, is this, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Always give yourself fully to the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord will not be in vain." The things that we do, the labour that we do for God will never, ever be in vain. That is a real encouragement to me and something I carry along the way. I had given to me some Belgian irises last year, and I've not ever grown bulb things before, but I was told to put them in the pot and they'd grow. Well, I put them in the pot and they grew lovely leaves, but I got no flowers. And if I had have received a promise that if I leave them in for a certain time that the flowers would come, or if I treated them a certain way, the flowers would definitely be there, I would have persisted. But I had no promise, and so I just put them in the corner and have ignored them, and that's it. But a promise is something that really keeps us going. A promise from God will help us going along the way when things get difficult. But Abraham had this instruction to go, to leave his comfort and everything that he knew, his people, his culture, his language, his land, everything, and to go with that promise. If you were Abraham, what would you have done? Because I don't think it would necessarily have been an easy choice at all. But it says that Abraham went, as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. How hard it is at times to get out of our comfort zones, to get out of the things that are just easy and safe and to go. But Abraham took his chance to be part of this great big story. I had a friend many years ago who used to take little parts in movies. So when they had crowd scenes and the like, she would often be there. And she said it was really fun. Partly it was fun because you could see the real actors from a distance. But she said it was just fun to be part of the big story of the movie. She knew she was only playing a little bit part, but she was part of something much bigger than her. And I think Abraham, and for each of us it's the same. When we listen to the go of God, we're part of something much, much bigger. As we pay attention to him and go and continue on in faith, we get to be part of his great big story. But we also have to make a choice. And I think that go of God is evident in some of Jesus' final words in Matthew, where he says it like this. Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age." God continues to call people who will pay attention to him and listen to him to go. But it's not going to look the same for each of us, is it? It's not going to look the same as going from Ur up to Haran and down to the Chaldeans. For some people, it will look like going to another country. There's many people here today who have come from another country, who have left the comfort of what they knew behind and come to a place with a different language, different culture, different food in the shops, different music, different everything. And they've come to a place where they wonder how they might fit in and if they belong and if they are welcome and how long all this might take. But for many of us, the journey is not so huge. Sure, there are some here who have been missionaries in other countries and have heard that go. But there's others who might be at university or school and have the go to be involved with your fellow students. There's some here, I know, who've heard the go to have Bible study groups with their peers and colleagues, maybe in their neighbourhood or in their workplaces. There are some here who intentionally walk the streets of their suburb praying for the blessing of God, praying that people would come to know Jesus in their place. There are others, maybe unable to do some of those things, who are prayers, who pray and pray for these things to happen, for God's will to be done. But for each of us, there will be a go in our lives. Sitting just in our own little comfort zones does not seem to be the way that God operates. We need to hear, to pay attention to Him, and to put faith in Him as He tells us to go. But you know, and we know, even if we hear the promise, even if we choose to go within that promise, it's not always easy, is it? We know that for Sally and for Simon in their coming and their going, there will be a time in the future when the gloss wears off and they think, oh, what am I doing here? There's times when people who've come from other countries looking for the hope and the goodness of Australia, and they would wonder, have I done the right thing? Have I made the right decision? But these people will go. What does it take to endure? I believe it takes listening to the promises of God and getting to know Him better. But there will be hurdles along the way. No matter what our go is, it won't all be easy. But the good thing is that God will help us. Now, I'll go back a little bit at the moment. I have a friend called Anita, and she's a missionary in Thailand with Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF, and has been there for about 2 years. She got sent in a team. There was lots of prayer and agreement with one another that this was what God's go for her was. But now, after being there about 2 years, she says she's just about wanting to give up because the language is so hard. She says, I just don't have an ear for it, just don't have a mind for it, it is so difficult. And she says she goes along to lessons, hardly puts any effort in because she's just so discouraged. But we're able to get with her and remind her that she had the agreement and the prayer of her team around her, and not to be discouraged, because we were sure, despite the discouragement, this was God's place for her. But Abraham also experienced plenty of hurdles. The first one was he got to the land of Canaan, and no sooner had he arrived, but there was a serious drought. So he took his family and went off to the land of Egypt. But he must have wondered what on earth was happening. He went as a refugee, and we know that there's people here who have come into our church as refugees, and they might too have wondered, where is God in all of this? But God is here in your story and in Abraham's story as well. The next thing that happened was, well, he knew when he left the land of his homeland that his wife Sarah was unable to have children. But this was in stark contrast to the promise that God had gave him that he'd have many, many descendants. But it must have been quite a hurdle, because Abraham decided to take matters into his own hand and sleep with their servant woman, Hagar, have a child, Ishmael, through that relationship. And, well, it's not surprising really that that didn't all end up well at all. The next promise that he had was land. He got to the place of the promised land, and it was occupied by other people. He must have wondered what exactly was going to happen. And even right to the end of his life, all he had was a small pocket of land that he had bought so that he could bury his wife Sarah there when she died. Time. We like things to happen in our time and in a quick time, but these promises that Abraham was given took hundreds of years. It took 400 years before they got the land, and God, in his mercy, it clarified that to Abraham, so he knew just how long he might have to wait. And then also, there is control. I like to have control over what happens in my life, how it happens, when it happens. These promises that Abraham received, really there was nothing he could do to control it at all. He couldn't control the fertility of his wife. He couldn't control the land. He couldn't control how he would be a blessing to the whole world forever. But he just trusted in God that it would happen. Fortunately, when there's hurdles along the way, God just doesn't leave us to drown and struggle. what God did in this story of Abraham. He came to him and he revealed himself to Abraham. From coming from his own country as someone who worships idols, the moon and other deities, and knew probably nothing or next to nothing about the one true God, throughout Abraham's stories, these are the things that are revealed to him. One, he learnt that God is the God Most High. He learnt God is the shield and a very great reward. He learnt that he is the I Am and the Lord. He learnt that God is a mighty God, that he is an everlasting God, that he is a God who provides. Because ultimately, when we are listening to the go of God and doing what God tells us, it's not just about doing a task. It's not just about chores and stuff to do. It's a two-way relationship with God, working alongside with him on his mission and his big story. And so as Abraham pushed into God and struggled with what his life entailed, God revealed more and more of himself. And I know that he does that with us as well. He doesn't just leave us to flounder, but as we push into God, he shows us more and more of what he's like. God reminded Abraham of the promises, but he also expected a bit more of Abraham. In our go, God will also expect a little more of us as we go along the way. At first, it seemed that all Abraham had to do was go, but along the way, you know, this is what God said to Abraham. He said, when he was 99 years old, just not quite a young, middle-aged man, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. A new expectation was laid upon him. And of course, it is when we receive such blessings from God, when our hearts open up to who he is and to his greatness and his awesomeness, it is a natural thing to worship. And Abraham is recorded as having built an altar at four different times during his life. At four significant moments, he came and built an altar, which is a worship of God. And we came here this morning partly to worship our God. And in church in the morning, we do that through our song. And our songs remind ourselves and one another of the character and the greatness of God. They remind us of our response and how we want to serve God and how we want to love God. And it's not just one way, it's two ways. And as we do so, God builds our faith and our confidence in him, confidence in our ability to serve him with the help of his Spirit. But Abraham responded to God. But then, after just a life's journey of living life, he dies. And that would seem to be the end. Because it says, Abraham breathed his last, died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. And it seemed like a bit of an anticlimax, really. That's it for this so-called great man of faith. Except that the story is not over. Because that is why we are here today. Because Abraham made the decision to pay attention to God, to obey the go of God, to follow him step by step with faith along the way. And we are all blessed because of Abraham. But really, this is not Abraham's story at all. This is God's story. This is the story of our extraordinary God who works through weak people like ourselves, but calls us with his strength and his power and his promise to go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that through Abraham we have this great blessing of Jesus, that we know that we are so, so blessed by you. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to pay attention to you, help us to listen to you, give us the tenacity and courage to go with you wherever you would take us, that we would grow in our knowledge and understanding and our faith in you and be part of your big story. Amen.